Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Kaf Be'elut Parashas Kisavot, Tavshinayin Vav, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 22 September 2016, webcasting from the Holy Land, seen through a Hamitic glass darkly. About the time I had to start doing this webcast, this was toward the end of the bizarre speech, the bizarre description of reality at the UN today, delivered by the Holocaust-denying terrorist Mahmoud Abbas, I could not watch what came later, which would be Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech. Not that I expect anything new. Bibi is always very good, but I do wish he would not keep saying how much he wants peace with the Palestinians and protesting against their refusal to talk. Hope he doesn't do that. Instead, just once, I want to hear an Israeli Prime Minister on that podium say that peace talks with such people are not possible because they are so intellectually stunted by the fact they do not perceive reality as it is, but as they want it to be. Take, for example, the speech delivered today by Mahmoud Abbas, one of the men who deserves death for the Munich Olympic Games atrocity. In this speech, he accused Israel of colonizing the occupied Palestinian territories and of, quote, violence against residents of our towns and villages and refugee camps. Israel is executing and attacking our people, close quote. Now, this should not surprise, because it's incomplete agreement with the content of his PA TV station and PA media and the words of other ministers in his cabinet that the world pretends is still in existence when it expired 7 years ago. Yesterday, Palestinian Media Watch posted a collection of quotes from recent days from these PA sources, and they are nothing short of clinically delusional descriptions of reality. No less than the PA Minister of Justice, Ali Abu Diak, said that Israel's response to the recent spike in knife attacks is, quote, a one-sided campaign, and the Israeli reports of stabbing attacks are baseless excuses. Israel is intensifying the crimes of murder and aggression. He is, of course, referring to the several Arabs shot dead during these recent knife attacks. Quote, in less than a week, it has committed many crimes of summary executions. Most of the victims are youth and children, and the occupation is using the excuse that they tried to stab or throw rocks at the occupation soldiers and other baseless excuses, close quote. On the PATV, a newsreader last Friday reported on that Jordanian tourist who attacked Jews at Damascus Gate and was killed. Occupation soldiers this afternoon executed the 28-year-old Syed Al-Amru, who holds Jordanian citizenship in the area of the Damascus Gate, under the pretext that he had tried to carry out a stabbing operation. You can see this on video, and here they're denying the video. The newsreader also reported on the attack at Tel Rumeida in Hebron the same day, where, quote, occupation forces executed 25-year-old murderer Hatem al-Shaludi by shooting him with automatic weapons under the pretext that he had stabbed a soldier, lightly injuring him, close quote. PATV reported on the scene there in Hebron that, quote, the chain of Israeli crimes against residents of the Hebron district has not ended, especially not the summary executions there, as the occupation continued its intentional policy of killing Palestinian residents and using the same pretexts and excuse, close quote. After a different recent set of knife attacks and Israeli soldiers and border police killing the assailants, PA Minister of Defense Al-Diak also said that, quote, this is organized state terror and additional proof that Israel is continuing to commit war crimes and crimes against humanity, close quote. The Fatah movement, some of their big shots said, quote, one of them said, quote, our Palestinian people has turned into a direct target for summary executions and cold-blooded murder for the occupation. From the occupation, who carry out crimes before the eyes and ears of the entire world without anyone acting to stop these racist crimes, close quote. And in this PMW newsletter, pages more of this, of these statements were listed, made by these movers and shakers in the PA, and that's the moderate, peace-minded opponents of those terrible radical Muslims in Hamas. I'll cite just two more. Regarding the killing of the Jordanian, the moderate PA said that this was Israel's response to all the calls they have made to their Arab brothers to visit Jerusalem. It is an attempt to reduce these visits and, in a sense, prevent them so that the Arabs will not defend Jerusalem and besiege Palestine and the Bibl that lives under the occupation, close quote. At some point, I think it would be most helpful for an Israeli prime minister to do what I just did in his annual speech to the UN General Assembly. Give them a flavor of what we're up against. Just read out the absolute unreality in these minds of these very intellectually, psychologically, emotionally backward Arabs. What Abbas did today was accuse Israel of doing what his PA has been doing over the last year. His Arabs strike to murder Jews. They get killed in the act, and then the PA reports that the Jews murdered a Palestinian, using a story of a stabbing as a pretext and an excuse. These are executions that Israel has tried to cover up by claiming knife attack. And I say, and the Israeli Prime Minister has to say, that with such people, serious, mature, rational discussion is simply not possible. Today Mahmoud Abbas spoke of colonizing the West Bank. This is Jimmy Carter-esque in its perverse abuse of language. There is no resemblance whatsoever between these Jewish bedroom communities a few minutes outside of Tel Aviv or Jerusalem and the far-flung colonies of the British and the French and the Spanish and the Portuguese and the Dutch and the Italians and the Germans. Israeli colonization is also in the title of that student tort course at Berkeley you may have heard about. It was banned and then now it's been reinstated. Colonialism is in the title. The course preaches the destruction of Israel. It's a symptom of anti-Jewitis, a.k.a. anti-Semitism, this flinging of accusations of Jewish devilry with no basis in fact. And that is a fact that a prime minister of Israel has to speak about. The Arabs as a whole must be identified with the German Nazis for the unreality of their false beliefs about what Jews do and do not do. Here's another PMW citation. The Palestinian deputy governor of Jerusalem, that's sort of a shadow government, I guess, when he doesn't govern in Jerusalem, when Abdullah Siam said in another context about events, quote, it is exactly like a hijacking of Jerusalem, an attempt to alter the nature of Jerusalem. And in my own research a quarter century ago into UN resolutions, there were dozens I found that accused Israel of Judaizing Jerusalem, with the implication that before 1967, Jerusalem was not Jewish. It's true, between 1949 and 1967, it was Judenland, but otherwise, the historical demographic record is consistent in showing that Jerusalem was, throughout history, primarily a Jewish town. The Jews were the plurality or the majority. And I like that bit about the Arabs defending Palestine. And I ask, when in all of history did the Arabs even conceive of a country with that name, let alone defend it? They fantasize an historic Jerusalem without Jews and Arabs defending Jerusalem and Palestine in the past. What's going on here is the age-old tragic flaw of the Arabs, the sons of Ishmael, who Rashi taught became a desert highwayman, and the Midrash more generally said Ishmael is a thief. That is his essential character. And I say this reportage compiled by PMW is more evidence of that. A few weeks back, you may remember, I posted a link to a memory.org video of a Jordanian parliamentarian out of control in his hatred of Israel. And what was most intriguing was the content of his protests. I pointed out it was all unconscious theft of Jewishness and Zionism, how much Palestine has always been in their prayers and their hearts, yada, yada, yada. This was the behavior of the Jewish people for thousands of years and still is. Jerusalem is in our prayers multiple times daily. What these Arabs do is steal not only your money and your livestock and your cars. The other day, the Israeli police reported that an estimated 50,000 stolen Israeli cars are in use in Arab Judea and Samaria. They steal your intellectual property, your ideas, your religion, your emotions. That Jordanian MP was simply hysterical in his protestations of eternal love for Palestine and Jerusalem. When had there ever been such Palestinians loving Palestine and Jerusalem? Israel needs to be more aggressive in teaching the world about our neighbors here who are, quote, not ready for prime time, who are incapable of mutually respectful negotiations with us. They imagine that this is their ancient homeland that has been stolen from them, and that gives them a license to stab Jews in the back and in the neck and run them over in their cars. Anyone who imagines peace for Israel with such a community as a possibility is as delusional as the Arabs themselves. Yes, the delusions of the Arabs here about us Jews are so detached from reality, they are people impossible to deal with. And they're not alone in J-Post today. The estimable Manfred Gerstenfeld focused on first the Iranians and then others in the region who believe ISIS is a front for the Mossad. The Mossad created ISIS in their minds. At one point, Iran's Islamic Republic news agency cited a supposed interview with Edward Snowden, the traitor, in which the U.S., Israel, and the U.K. were behind this plot to destabilize the Middle East, and the plot's name was Hornet's Nest. Another claim floating around the region is that the leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, is really a Jewish Mossad agent named Elliot Simon. And I ask, why does Israel continue with the charade that a civilized conversation with such people is a goal? In Holland, too, among the first to talk like this was a Dutch Muslim, an employee of the Dutch counter-terrorism agency, the NCTV, one Yasmina Hafi, who said, ISIS has nothing to do with Islam. It is a plot of the Zionists who want to blacken Islam. In London, a labor councillor for Kensington, when Benazir Lasher said, quote, many people know about who was behind 9/11 and who also is behind ISIS. How are Israel and Israel's friends supposed to respond to such talk? I'm afraid that too many people, like myself in the past, believe that deep down people who talk this way know the truth about what they're saying is not true, but is permissible as an outburst of emotion, even artistic license. You just get carried away with your rage at what the Jews do. If you remember in 2002, the Battle of Jenin, after the Passover massacre at the Park Hotel, an Israeli Arab filmmaker made a documentary on the fighting and showed an Israeli tank deliberately driving over and crushing to death an Arab, something that never happened. The soldiers in the unit concerned protested to the government, threatened legal action. I forget all the details, but for the moment, what was interesting was the director's response. He was buffaloed, if I remember correctly, into admitting that this was a fabrication, but he defended his artistic license in a documentary because his emotions were so great, his anger at Israel so great, it felt as if it really had happened, and that is the emotion he wanted to convey to his viewers. There's no fidelity to the truth in this culture. Rather, to rephrase, truth is subjective. It's all emotional and not objective. The filmmaker was so passionate he licensed himself to portray such an event. In a word, these Arabs are very different from the civilized Judeo-Christian tradition of science and objectivity. It was after the Battle of Jenin that Saeb Arakat, one of Tzipi Livni's favorite interlocutors, said the IDF had massacred 500 Palestinians. After which, if I were an Israeli minister, I would say I will never speak to this man again, because it would be pointless. This is the same Arakat who was with Arafat at Camp David in July 2000, the two of them telling Bill Clinton and Ehud Barak that the Jews never had any temples on the Temple Mount. The Jews just say that because they want to keep it from the Arabs. This was obviously another monstrous example of their psychological projection. They're the ones who came to steal the Temple Mount from us. The Temple Mount had been the Temple Mount for us for roughly 1,500 years before the first Muslim set foot on it in the year 638. And I ask, why are we negotiating with such people who are so obviously intellectually, psychologically juvenile in their thinking? They're like 5-year-olds for whom the line between reality and fantasy is fluid. One of my jobs in life was working in a theater in Manhattan, which specialized in doing theater for children, school kids. And it was discovered that below the age of 5, theater is impossible, for the children don't yet know the boundary between what is real and what is pretend. And I believe that thanks to the menace of the Muslims that they constitute, they have been able to impose their view of reality on the rest of mankind. About a dozen years after the Six-Day War, when the PLO cells were metastasizing and carrying out their monstrous acts of terror, not only in Israel but in Europe, In 1980, the Europeans, after a decade of this, capitulated and agreed, yes, the PLO is not a syndicate of terror gangs, but a legitimate organization of national, patriotic freedom fighters representing a venerable nationality with rights. My book also records the private deals the European states in that period made with the PLO, allowing them to base themselves and operate from a country after a promise of not carrying out terror in that particular country. And this, I say, was a kissing cousin of Europe's peoples in the 17th through the 19th centuries, when individual countries, the maritime states, made individual deals with the Muslim city-states on the other side of the Mediterranean. It was called paying the tribute. It was protection money. It is the conscienceless, barbaric violence the Arabs and Muslims are capable of, which may account for the behavior this week at the UN in its annual jamboree. Yesterday's headline in J-Post was, quote, as PM arrives, UN speeches ignore Palestinian violence, close quote. What Herb Kanon and Daniel Ziri in New York report was about the speech given by the chief UN flunky, Ban Ki-moon, who in his speech, attacking the madness, that was his word, of Israeli settlement activity, said not one word about the last year of dozens of Jews being murdered and others grievously wounded. Obama likewise, in his speech, said nothing of this murder spree by these Muslim assassins. All he did was speak against Palestinian incitement without spelling out what the incitement leads to. Jew killing. Think of that. I'd bet that in the first year of Hitler's rule, after he took office in January of 1933, fewer Jews were murdered in Germany than here over the last 12 months.
סגרה עליי דרכי ואם אמת הוא בנפשי על כל הרגעים תודה אני שומע מנגינה היא מתבהרת את מתוך העננה שקט הכובל כאילו מאמינה בינתיים עד שבאת לתוך חיי לא היה לך לאן לברוח את הטעויות שלי לעולם לא ייתנו לך לשכוח עד שתשוב אליי המנגינה השקט הכובל כאילו מאמינה בינתיים. עד שבאת לתוך חיי לא היה לך לאן לברוח, את הטעויות שלי לעולם לא ייתנו לך לשכוח. השקט שוב אליי המנגינה,
you're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, between Obama and Ban Ki-moon in their jabs at Israel, said not a word of the past year's homicidal violence here against us Jews. And it'll be interesting to see how tomorrow we find out what was in Bibi's speech this evening in this regard. Herb Kanaan reported that just before the Prime Minister took off for New York on Tuesday, I think, he said that he would, quote, speak Israel's truth there. I will speak about Israel's justice and heroism, the heroism of our soldiers, police officers, and citizens who wage an uncompromising struggle against cruel terrorism, close quote. And I say, no good. Speaking about Israel's struggle against cruel terrorism is almost in a class with Obama refusing to say radical Islamic terrorism. For the truth is that our struggle is not with terrorism. It's with people, Muslims, Arabs, Iranians, Turks, who are as bonkers about Jews as the Nazis ever were. Terrorism is not even, when you think about it, an ism. It's a stupid word. An ism is a matrix of ideas, and in this case, what it refers to is not ideas, but a behavior, a tactic, toward some end that the terrorist wants to achieve. And since all the terror of late committed by terrorists is committed in the name of Islam, it is Islam that we are at war with. Admittedly, the Prime Minister would likely hesitate to talk that way because of the recent de facto alliance in the region between Israel and Egypt and the Gulf Arabs against Iran. Call it belligerent Islam or violent against non-combatants Islam, something like that. In a similar vein, in a news story from last week about a speech at the UN the week before, the head of the ZOA, Mort Klein, took U.S. Ambassadress Samantha Power to task for her speech on September 7th at the UN Conference on Anti-Semitism, when she, too, never spoke the words Muslim or Islamic terror, anti-Semitism, which, as he rightly pointed out, happens to constitute a major portion of the physical and verbal attacks against Jews these days. He said that throughout her speech, whenever she described attacks on Jews, she never mentioned that the perpetrators were Muslims. He cited her reference to an anti-Semitic attack in Argentina in the city of Santa Fe, where a bottle loaded with cement was thrown through the window of a local Jewish center with a message attached. It said, "This is a warning. The next one will explode." Klein said she left out the fact that the note also bore the logo of ISIS and the words Allahu Akbar. She admitted altogether a worse incident in Uruguay in March when a Muslim shouting Allahu Akbar stabbed a Jewish man to death and wounded his son. She did reference those murders in a, quote, kosher market in Paris in January 2015, but again left out the fact that the murderer there, a Somali, also was shouting Allahu Akbar. Indeed, Mort Klein pointed out, the only time she did mention Muslims was when she complained that the rising anti-Semitism goes hand in hand with xenophobic efforts to bar Muslim immigration, close quote. Sound familiar? This is what goes on at the UN and globally on the UN's designated Holocaust Remembrance Day, when alongside the reference to the Holocaust, a half a dozen other crimes against groups are dragged in. Focusing exclusively on the Holocaust against the Jews is so difficult for world anti-Jewry. Here was Powers, a native of Ireland and most probably Roman Catholic, equated rising anti-Semitism, which results in ghastly murders of Jews, with the xenophobic opposition to Muslim immigration. In her Obama-esque world, opponents of Muslim immigration are xenophobic. They're afflicted with an irrational fear of foreigners. Therefore, their opposition is baseless and bigoted. Powers evidently referenced a recent minor victory against anti-Semitism in Hungary when an attempt was made but blocked to erect a statue of a Nazi collaborator. But about the constant naming of parks and schools in Arab Judea after murderers of innocent Jews, she said nothing.
שעה ששמת חלקי מזרע ישראל והשבת אותי לתורתך וקרבת אותי לצדיקים האמיתיים שבדורנו מודה אני לפניך מודה על נפלאותיך שאתה בורא עולם מודה אני על חסדך שגמלת עם אביון מודה אני על ניסיך בכל יום שעה ושעה שקבעת בי אמונתך
Okay, that's it for this Thursday night for the week. I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.